This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
This is indeed Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and Mile High Radio in Denver. Solly and Jeff coming to you from the FedEx Studios, Danny via Skype from the Roger Dorn Recording Studios. Steve once again has other commitments. He will be back hopefully before the end of the year, but with his crazy schedule, who knows what's going on. So you got the three of us tonight. Steve will have his pigskin picks later on, right, Jeff? He's nodding yes, so we know we'll have him.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, so we got a lot to get to on the show tonight. I know we haven't done much as far as general sports talk is concerned, but due to conflicting schedules and time constraints, it's just a lot easier to do the one show every week and have it be football. So whatever else is happening in the sports world, we'll try to keep you as updated as possible via social media, facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports.
Well, Twitter. I have an idea.
What, Danny?
We can cut out Fantasy Flash this week or Best and Worst if you want, and then we can talk a little bit general about sports.
What do you want to cut? I'd say cut best and worst because I like doing the Flash every week.
All right, we'll cut out best and worst and we'll discuss about general sports so we keep the fans happy.
All right, why not? We'll throw in a little baseball and hockey talk later on, but it'll be quick. But most of the show we'll be talking about football, as the opening music should have been an indication of. And going into week four, coming out of week four, going into week five, if you had told me that the Jets would be sitting at 2-2. The Giants would be sitting at 0-4, and the Buffalo Bills would be in first place in the AFC's Eastern Division, I would have laughed in your face and thought you were crazy. But it has happened. Week 4 turned out to be one of the strangest weeks in football, and I don't know where to start. Actually, I do know where to start. The fact that the New York Jets are not only 2-2, but surprise, surprise, almost blew it against Jacksonville. And it all started with basically a meltdown of sorts in the fourth quarter, almost completely wasting an outstanding rushing day. The Jets combined finished for over 200 yards of rushing. I think the total was like 224. Bilal Powell had himself a career day, 163 yards rushing, including a 75-yard touchdown run. Then they had McGuire, the rookie, 69-yard touchdown run.
Jerry McGuire?
No. I think it's Evan McGuire. Elijah McGuire. There we go. 10 carries.
Enos McGuire?
Elijah McGuire. 10 carries, 93 yards, including a 69-yard touchdown run.
Nice. And
wait, it gets better. Jacksonville actually had an 83-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown to get them back in the football game. And almost completely good. The Jets almost completely shot themselves in the foot once again because of the offense's inability to hang on to the football.
Did he even watch the game?
Yeah, I saw most of the game. They couldn't hold on to the ball in the fourth quarter.
I'm completely ignoring the Jets talk, Matt, because I can give two craps about the Jets.
I know you could.
They are purposely, they're trying not to draft Sam Darnold right now, and I don't know what the hell's wrong with them. The game was funny to watch. Greg and Brendan were laughing. Brendan was mostly screaming, saying, they should lose. They should lose. I'm laughing. And I don't know. Maybe the Jets want to contend for the division.
They might, but at the same time, you know what? Where have you ever heard of a player purposely tanking in any sport? Exactly. You haven't.
I have heard about it.
Really? Enlighten me, oh wise one.
You got basketball. You got the Buffalo Sabres and hockey.
No. The Sabres.
Yes.
How are the Sabres purposely tanked? How is anybody in the NBA purposely tanked?
You lose. Mark Cuban has said we've tanked before. If Mark Cuban says we've tanked before, I kind of believe Mark Cuban over the wise Matthew Abraham Solomon, okay?
Yeah, so would I at this point.
You have more reputation than Mark Cuban. Just stay in your lane, all right? Stay in your lane. You know better.
Yeah, I'll stay put for the time being, but I don't think that I really did.
No, you're staying there.
The Jets didn't tank, Danny. Don't give me that.
You're staying in your lane.
Fine, but the Jets are not purposely tanking. They're trying to win football games. Like Herman Edwards said, you play to win the game.
Oh, shut up, Herm. Shut up. All right? I'm telling you, the Jets need to start losing.
Yes, they do.
If they don't start losing, they are screwed.
Don't worry. Danny, don't worry. They will start losing after they beat Cleveland next week.
Yeah, like in your dreams.
No, in reality, they're going to beat Cleveland next week. I'm going to get free food out of you from Applebee's, and then the Jets will start crapping the bed because they actually play, I don't know, good teams the rest of the way, with the exception of Miami again and maybe Buffalo. Although Buffalo pulled off a huge upset in their own right, beating Atlanta in Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta sucks. By the way, go ahead. Just shifting from baseball, it's 3-0 Twins, only in the first inning.
Wow.
Severino is getting crushed right now. Everyone knows how the Twins somehow can't beat the Yankees in anywhere.
Yeah, the Twins are 9-21.
And Severino's out of the game.
He couldn't even get out of the first inning? Wow.
He is out of the game. He might be hurt.
That might explain why. Out of the game. I was going to say, the only reason I would even remotely speculate Severino getting pulled in the first inning is either A, it's a shellacking, which it is, and B, the more likely scenario is probably hurt.
It is met on second and third. One out.
Wow. And this entire time, because Minnesota is the first team in history to lose 100 games or more in one season, and then the very next year make the playoffs. And this was a team, by the way, who was selling off assets at the trade deadline at the end of July. But all of a sudden, Byron Buxton gets healthy. They start playing better. They turned it on down the stretch. And here we sit, them up 3-0 in the first inning against the Yankees in the wild card game.
Yes. And again, we'll discuss more about baseball later on the show. I apologize. I'm just quite as shocked as you are at the Twins are kicking ass.
Trust me, that's definitely more shocking than anything the Jets have done or anything going on in the NFL.
Yeah.
I also think it's a bigger deal because it's playoff baseball, and here we sit 4 weeks into the NFL season that's going until New Year's. So we have plenty of time to talk football.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Jets pull out an overtime victory by the skin of their teeth, and it shouldn't have gone to overtime if their kicker had hit one from 45 yard out earlier in the football game. But the way I look at it, the Jets should have no problem handling Cleveland this week.
They will.
The Jets will beat Cleveland. Then they're going to start... Well, you already know how I feel about this. The Jets will beat Cleveland.
No, they won't.
Then they're going to start having trouble with teams down the stretch because they still have to play, I don't know, Oakland, depending on how good the Raiders are with Derek Carr getting hurt, Denver, Kansas City. The Jets still have good teams to deal with, and it's going to be a long road the rest of the way.
New England team you forgot about?
Oh, yeah, New England twice.
Yeah.
And they still got one more with Buffalo and Miami each, so... It's going to be a long road for the Jets. They figured they may as well get their jollies in now. This is usually around the time of year where it starts to be silly season in the NFL, where up is down, left is right, and backwards is forwards. Jets get a win in overtime. The Giants can't catch a break. They fall at the end of regulation on a chip shot by Mike Nugent, although it shouldn't have gotten there because Nugent missed a couple of field goals and an extra point. It really shouldn't have got that far. Tampa Bay should have run away with this game easily, but it's weird. The first couple of games for the Giants...
That was Nick Folk, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it was Nick Folk. You're right.
Jeff, wow. You going to roll for me, please?
Wrong!
Thank you, Jeff.
So, Nick Folk should have been able to put the game away. Couldn't do it, which may explain why the Jets finally got rid of him. I'll give the Giants credit, though, where it's due. They actually put up a bit of a fight in this football game. They made it. It was a very entertaining game. Let's see. Eli finished 30 of 49, 288, two touchdowns, no picks. Odell finished 7 catches for 90 yards and didn't do anything overly stupid this time, which is a miracle in and of itself. The offense actually showed up. It's the defense who couldn't do jack squat and shutting down Jameis Winston.
Well, Matt.
Yeah.
Odell did get hurt at the end. It looks like he suffered an ankle injury, the same ankle that was bothering him throughout all the offseason.
Yes.
It looks like that defense, I think the defense is fine.
I don't.
I I just think that their offense is just not clicking. I'm telling you, the defense is out on the field way too much. When the defense is out on the field way too much, the team is not going to do well because the guy's going to be falling over the field. If you have a competent quarterback and a competent offensive line, you should be fine. The Giants are not fine right now, and they need to do something about their offense. Their defense, I think, is fine. I disagree with you saying there's something wrong with their defense.
Well, to that extent, I agree, because the defense has been on the field way too much, which is why they started getting torched towards the end of the games. It happened against Philly. Yep. They couldn't hold the lead. It happened against Tampa. They had a chance to come away with the victory, but they couldn't do it. The offense, you're right, is not clicking, because up until this was probably the first time all season that Eli actually had protection to work with. He actually had time to throw. And by the way, the one rushing touchdown Eli had was the longest rushing touchdown he has ever had in his career. But two interesting stats of note. Only one team in the Super Bowl era, so we're talking 51 years of football going into this season, only one team ever has started a season off 0-4 and gone on to make the playoffs. It was the 1992 San Diego Chargers. They started the year 0-4, won 11 of their next 12 games, finished the season 11-5, won the AFC West, and made it to the playoffs. And since 2012, no team that has started the year off 0-3 has made the playoffs. So, would you consider this full-blown panic mode for the Giants now? Yes or no? I say yes.
I said last week it was panic mode, and I said that I thought the Giants would get the first win this week. And, Matt, we also got to mention the last two Giant losses that came off of game-winning field goals.
Right.
So, it's not like the Giants blew it, all right? It was a... What the first one was a 61-yard field goal, which he had no idea a kid would make.
It was a miracle, then, miracle kick by Jake Elliott.
Tampa just had the ball at the right time, the right moment. So you just, like I said, the panic button should have been blinking after the Eagles game, and it looks like they're not doing anything. They need to fire Ben McAdoo, fire Jerry Reese. They need to start cleaning house. If they lose next week, they're screwed, and full rebuild them up. Start looking for a quarterback for the future and rebuild that offensive line. You guys, the Giants did well at rebuilding that defense and the secondary. They need a running game. They're going to need a quarterback soon because Eli is not getting any younger.
36.
And, and then at the same time, you have to worry about Odell Beckham's antics. And I don't know if he signed a contract yet. But you got to rely on Odell and money situation.
Odell hasn't signed a contract yet, but with all the talk that Odell had at the start of the year, saying he wanted to be the highest paid player in the history of the NFL, with the way things have gone so far and with his attitude both on and off the field, I really don't see that happening. He's not going to get that kind of money. Now, if you based it purely on talent alone, then yes, he would get that kind of money. But it doesn't just come with pure talent alone, it comes with the entire package, which includes his off-the-field antics and also his stupidity on the field, which is what you're going to get.
Peeing like a dog.
Pretty much.
Peeing like a dog.
Well, also, let's not forget about this. One of the biggest problems the Giants have had, and Odell's been a part of this, he actually leads the league in this category, wide receivers dropping passes. Eli's had time. Odell, I think, had like 4 drops on Sunday against Tampa. Marshall's had a couple of drops.
Well, if you didn't see one of the drops balls he had, he broke his finger. No, dislocated his finger. You can see a picture of the finger out of place. It is quite ugly. They actually put it back in on the sideline. It's quite disgusting to watch. But so I don't blame Odell for dropping the ball because his finger was out of place. Other than that... We said this numerous times. Giants are in deep
shit. You just made the list.
But they are right now. They're in trouble. I picked them to make the Super Bowl. Look at me. I'm an idiot.
And I just found the picture of it now. Oh my God.
Yep. So,
yeah. And I've seen a lot of nasty stuff watching sports, but that's got to be up near the top.
Actually, no. The worst injury I've seen is probably. I have no idea. Oh, Okay, the worst sport injury I ever saw live, like watching on TV, was the kid in Louisville. I forgot his name, but remember when his leg snapped in half?
Yes, yeah. It took me a second to think about it. Yeah, now I know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
Or Elite 8, one of the two, but his leg literally snapped. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was...
Yeah, I was up there. I haven't seen it in pro sports, but I've seen this happen in, like, rec softball. It's not the same, I know, but I've actually seen... And you know how big a softball is, right?
Yes.
All right? I've seen a guy get the bottom half of his ear ripped off by a line drive.
What the...
You just made the list!
That's probably the worst injury I think I've ever seen. And I know it's not the same, but still...
Wait, how did the guy's ear get ripped off? The ball?
Well, no, what happened was, guy hit a line drive right back at the mound. The pitcher couldn't get out of the way quick enough. He turned his head to the side. The ball hit him right square in the ear.
But, like... So, did he turn his head? Or, like, the ball ripped his ear off?
The ball ripped his ear off as he was... Because he was trying to turn his head to get out of the way. And as he's turning his head, the ball clipped him and pulled his ear off. That's how hard it got hit back to the mound.
I'm trying to figure out how the hell it's possible. But okay.
Yeah. We'll save that for another time.
Ears getting ripped off by baseballs or softballs, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Let's go back to something else that has that kind of equipment. Let's go back to football, shall we? Or do you want to talk baseball now? What do you want to do?
What a beautiful segue. That kind of equipment. Dude, you got to think of some better segues, man. That's pathetic. Just probably shaking his head. It's like, did he really just say that? Tell me he did not just say that.
That's the look I'm getting from Jeff right now. Thank you very much, Booker T.
Matt, you decide. I got to let Monty out.
All right. So we're going to keep going with the NFL, at least for a little while longer before we do it to Flash and get into baseball talk and what have you. So this week turned out to be a bad week for certain teams. Think about it. All right, look at some of the scores from week four, okay? You had Kansas City beating up on Washington.
They didn't beat up on Washington, Matt. Washington was winning at one point. I think majority of the game they were winning.
They were, and then they blew it in the fourth quarter.
They didn't blow it in the fourth. Oh, wait. Yeah, Washington blew it.
Yeah, Washington blew it in the fourth quarter. Seattle smoked Indy, no surprise there. Dallas lost to the Rams by 5, but they still lost. Baltimore can't score. Cincinnati actually showed up, and oh yeah, the Tennessee Titans are now going to be without Marcus Mariota for a while. He gets hurt, and the Houston Texans beat the ever-loving crap out of the Titans. 57-14, Houston pulled off that win.
Also, the Derek Carr injury, he's going to be out for a couple weeks also.
I'm hearing two to 6 weeks for a fracture in his back for Derek Carr, which is the same injury that eventually ended up costing Tony Romo his career and why Tony Romo is now in the press box.
Yeah, anything to do with the back is not good. Derek Carr. Well, Tony Romo's a great announcer, by the way.
Yes, he is. I'm loving listening to Tony Romo in the booth.
Derek Carr, he's been plagued with injuries, so it's almost reminiscent of his brother. But the Raiders have a good chance to make it to the Super Bowl this year. Derek Carr needed to stay healthy. He might be out 2 to 8 weeks, 2 to 6 weeks. I don't know what the hell the timetable is. But anything to do with the back, it's risky, especially when you're playing football. One wrong hit and you could be paralyzed.
Yep. And especially when you consider it's the future of your football team and the guy who carried you, for the most part, into the division title last year. When the Raiders got into the playoffs.
And when you're moving to Las Vegas in like, what, a year, year, 2 years, something like that?
I think it's 2 years. 2 years before they go to Vegas.
Exactly. So they need him to stay healthy. The Raiders, I think that's the toughest division in football right now. With Denver, Oakland, and the Chiefs. And,
who, by the way, are still undefeated. The only undefeated team left in the NFL after 4 weeks.
Yeah, and then, the Chargers suck.
They're all in 4.
Another surprising game, I don't know if you mentioned this, was the Panthers versus New England.
I was just going to get to that.
Yeah.
You're the Pats fan. You talk about this one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just don't know what the hell happened. Their defense is out of sync. That's it. Their defense. The defense was supposed to be really good this year. They got Stephon Gilmore, one of the top corners in the league. They got Malcolm Butler. They re-signed Dante Hightower. And, yeah, they let Cam Newton light them up. Last week, Cam Newton couldn't light up the New Orleans Saints defense. And they have the worst pass defense in God knows how long. Meanwhile, you're letting Cam Newton run up and down and throw up and down the field. What the hell? Other than that, Tom Brady and company try to lead you guys back in the game, which they did, and then they lose on the game-winning field goal. So, yeah, I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Well, the big question with Cam Newton is he did it against one of the worst or one of the weaker defenses in the NFL. Now, can he do it consistently? Can he do it against another good team? And if you look at the next couple games for Carolina, they got to go to Detroit, they got to host Philly, and then they go to Chicago October 22nd. So if you're Carolina, you have to think about this as, okay, Cam Newton just did this against the defending world champions who happen to be, at least at this point, a subpar defense. Can he do it against, I don't know, a decent team in Detroit, a decent team in Philadelphia, and the Bears? Shouldn't be that hard to do it against Chicago, but the consistency's got to stay there. And, you know, same thing with consistency with Houston. Was this just the fact that it was an injury-plagued Titans team and they hung 57 points on him? Or are the Texans legitimate? I don't think so. I don't think the Texans are legit at this point. I think that was just, it was one bad week by, one bad week by Tennessee. Houston should be able to get the shit figured out. At least I hope they will. If they don't, they're in trouble.
I disagree with you on Houston.
Okay, why?
I think Deshaun Watson has seasoned fine with that offense. Them starting Tom Savage the first week of the season did not help him out. Deshaun Watson, I think, can easily lead that offense into the playoffs. You got Lamar Miller, you got Deshaun Watson, you got Resurgence and DeAndre Hopkins, and then you got Will Fuller, who's just coming back off injury and scored 2 touchdowns last week. And then you got that Houston's defense. They can all stay healthy. I think Houston could be a sleeper this year. Deshaun Watson has Kareem Hunt's money right now in Rookie of the Year. Kareem Hunt is literally running away with that Rookie of the Year award.
Pretty much.
Deshaun Watson can keep up what he's doing right now. It's going to be a neck-and-neck race on who's going to win that Rookie of the Year award. But I really think Deshaun Watson has a future with the Houston Texans.
He does.
And his style of play fits perfectly with that offense.
And they've got a fairly favorable schedule. I mean, next week they got to play Kansas City.
Which will be a big test for Deshaun Watson. Yep. Big test.
They got Kansas City, Cleveland, bye week, at Seattle, Indy, at the Rams, Arizona, at Baltimore, at Tennessee, Niners, at Jags, Steelers, at Colts. That's the rest of the schedule for Houston. I could see in that maybe 4 losses the rest of the way. Maybe.
I got to look at the schedule again.
Danny, I just rattled it off.
Nah, but I don't remember that.
All right, fine. Kansas City.
Don't read it off. I'm watching 2 things at the same time. So.
Right. So yeah, I could see maybe 4 losses the rest of the way for the Houston Texans. And I agree completely with the type of year Deshaun Watson's having. He may not be putting up the stratospheric numbers of Kareem Hunt, but he's still putting himself on fine footing to prove that this actually has his team. And why Houston even decided to start Tom Savage at the beginning of the year is completely pointless. You saw what happened. They went to Deshaun Watson. Now they're not going to be looking back. And with the injuries that are going on, and this was brought up earlier today on another show here in New York, I think it's worth talking about at least, with the injuries going on in Oakland, with how badly Joe Flacco's playing in Baltimore. Are you surprised that some team out there has not put in a call yet to the only guy not playing in the NFL right now, who I think should be because he's a decent enough quarterback? Why has nobody called Colin Kaepernick? Why is this guy not getting a job when there's teams out there who are in need of a quarterback?
Matt, I think you know the answer. We've beaten this to bloody pulp right now. What he did, teams don't want a circus around their organization. Okay? It's what he did it. He did it to himself. Free speech, all good, but the team doesn't want a circus around them. So, yeah. That's all basically right. What.
And you want to talk
Brandon Whedon has a job over at Colin Kaepernick.
I know. But you want to talk a team that's got a circus around it right now? How about the fact that the New York Yankees are down 3-0 to Minnesota in a playoff game?
Well, I just, before we shift sports, how much time we have left in the episode?
We're 26. We're about halfway. We're just under halfway through it, Danny.
Okay. I just want to say one thing.
Sure.
The Rams, I don't know whether they're for real or fluke. They beat the Cowboys. I just don't know yet. I want to say they're on the rise, but at the same time, it's the Rams.
I know.
You know what I mean?
And with, yes, I do. And with how well Todd Gurley's been playing this year, he's been huge for my fantasy team.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I have Gurley last year. He sucks ass. You get Gurley, he's the next coming to God.
Well, I mean, looking at what the Rams have the rest of the way, it's kind of fair. It's actually about it. Even with teams that have been playing, they still have Seattle twice. They got the Jags, the Cards twice, the Giants, the Texans, the Saints, the Eagles, the Titans, and the Niners. So the Rams might have a chance to make a lot of noise. And what's, again, this is another big surprise coming through the first 4 weeks of football. So looking at the NFC West, the Niners are completely irrelevant. The Rams are 3-1.
And it's a tie game.
Yep. Who, Didi? Yep. Didi, 3-3. You kind of had a feeling the Yankees would wake up eventually. So, yeah, before we get into baseball discussion, I'll run through this quickly.
Brandon is just shaking his head. Unbelievable. The fact that I said earlier, like, I'm laughing, and then also I'm like, the Twins can't beat the Yankees. And, of course, Irvin Santana throws a meatball down the middle to Didi Gregorius and it sends one to right field.
Yeah. So, And anybody who was doubting the Yankees in this baseball game, what a joke. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming.
Greg is laughing right now. And
I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. Especially when you throw a meatball at Didi Gregorius, who's hit more.
Wins. That's why Greg said it perfectly. They should have started Bartolo Colon.
Yes, they should have.
Because at least he has something to fight for. Irvin Santana, what has he done in his career? Throw a no-hitter? Give me a break. Cologne's 40.
Yeah. And Cologne can still probably pitch better than Irvin Santana, but I think the only reason Minnesota even decided to start Irvin Santana in this game... It's Irvin Santana.
It's Irvin.
All right, fine. Irvin Santana. The only reason he even got to start in this game...
Okay, fine. What, you think his name's Irvin?
It's Irvin. Who cares? He's a bum.
Irvin. E-R-V-I-N. That's
who
Irvin.
Cares? He's a bum. The only reason he even got there is because he's lucky he got 16 wins.
I just think Cologne should have started this game.
I agree. But the only reason Santana got the start is because he won 16 games by some miracle. Minnesota shouldn't even have been here.
You know what? Carl Bovano should be back in the MLB, but he's not there. You remember him?
Yeah, I remember Carl Pavano.
Won the World Series with the Marlins, signed the Yankees, sucked. Went to the Twins, won 12 games, and that was it.
Yeah. And now the Twins are getting somebody up in the bullpen.
Yeah, I just saw it, yeah. This game is going to be crazy.
Yes, it is. And the winner gets to face the rested Cleveland Indians team.
Yeah, that's going to be...
Have fun with that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, whenever you're ready, we'll do our baseball prediction because I have mine set in stone.
Oh, hell, let's do it now. Why not? We're talking baseball. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. So, first matchups, winner of this game tonight, Minnesota and the Yankees, gets the Cleveland Indians in the divisional round.
We both picked the Yankees to win this game, right?
Yes, we do. Okay. And the Yankees winning this game. And from that... they get Cleveland, and by the way, I will have a full preview on the blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com, hopefully before the start of the series.
Okay.
Which I believe starts Thursday night. But the way I look at it, as far as the two division runs are concerned, let's face facts, it's going to end up being Cleveland and the Yankees. Cleveland's going to take it in four, because I just think they're the better overall team. Not taking anything away from the Yankees' offense. Clearly, they're a superior hitting team, and... it's obvious in the first inning, thank you, Didi Gregorius. So, The Yankees may have the offensive prowess, but Cleveland's got the better pitching. The starters can go deeper than the Yankees, I feel. And it was evident tonight with Severino not even getting out of the first, although we don't know whether it's injury-related or not. Cleveland's still the better team. They've got something left to prove. And interesting stat, only twice prior to this year have the Indians won 100 or more games in a season. The first one, they won 111 games in 1954, lost to the Giants in the World Series. Second time around, 100 wins exactly, lost to the Braves in the 95 World Series. 102 wins this year. They're due. Indians are going to go on to the American League Championship Series. They will face the Houston Astros. As good as the Red Sox are, and you got outstanding numbers from Xander Bogaerts, Hanley Ramirez had a decent year, Andrew Benintendi drove in 90 runs, Chris Sale pretty much dominated everybody, but Dallas Keuchel, I think, can match up pretty well with Chris Sale. And when you have Jose Altuve at the top of the lineup, I think Houston is too balanced of a baseball team. Astros are going to take that 1-4. It's going to be Astros-Indians in the American League Championship Series.
Are you finished?
Why do you think I stopped talking? Yes, I'm finished.
I just wanted to clarify that you were finished. All right, so Yankees are going to win this game somehow, some way. 20 innings or 9. We'll figure it out. Then they will face the Cleveland Indians. As much as I think the Yankees really improved this year, the Yankees will not go past Cleveland. They'll get swept by the Cleveland Indians. They will lose in 3 games. Cleveland just has the better team right now, and they have the better pitching, and they do have something to prove, and they are pissed off from last season. So they have something to prove. They're pissed. That's the reason why, right? They have a better baseball team, better pitching, and I'm not sure about the better bullpen, but the better starting pitching and the reliable bullpen Indians have, they can get it done, okay? Astros and Red Sox, both close teams, all right? You got Chris Sale, you got Dallas Keuchel. Chris Sale, easily the better pitcher. He can strike out anyone. He had over 300 strikeouts this season. He almost matched Pedro Martinez's strikeout record in 99. And funny fact, Pedro Martinez did not win the MVP that year. Went to the great Juan Gonzalez, who I believe took steroids. So
he did.
Smart. As for rest of the lineup, both teams have great offense lineups, but I give the edge to Houston and their bullpen. Yes, the Red Sox have Craig Kimbrel as a closer. I just think the Astros have a deeper bullpen than the Red Sox, and I think it will go the distance, but Houston wins in the final game. And it will be Houston versus Indians, as a lot of people are predicting right now. And Irvin Santana is staying in the game. Sorry, I'm just doing play-by-play right now. As for that 7-game series, Indians and Astros. And as much as I just said earlier, how much Cleveland has something to prove, I am going to stick with my midseason prediction. So, I am picking the Houston Astros to upset the Cleveland Indians in the ALCS, and I say they win in 6 games, the Houston Astros, and they go on to the World Series. Shocking, yes, but I'm sticking to my guns on my midseason World Series prediction. So, Matt, we can discuss it if we can argue, or you want to talk about the NL?
I'm switching to the NL. I haven't gotten that far to going to NL, the league championship predictions yet. So, as far as I'm concerned with the...
Whoops.
yeah, I know. So anyway, with the wild card game between the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, as good as Colorado is, and when you have a guy like Charlie Blackman...
By the way, who thought the Rockies and the Diamondbacks would be representing the wild card?
I honestly didn't. I thought Arizona. Yeah, I thought Arizona maybe, but I wasn't expecting Colorado.
I didn't expect both teams. I think I said the Mets and...
I had Mets Cardinals as my wild card team.
I think I had Mets Giants.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the Giants would have had a sniff at it, too, but I had Mets-Cardinals as the wildcard teams.
Jeff probably had the Padres, right?
Who'd you have, Jeff? He doesn't remember. Did you have the Mets, at least, as a wildcard team? He says he's probably in the words, I don't know.
I think he had the Padres and...
I said he thinks so for the Mets, so...
Padres. He's a Padres fan, deep
in heart. He is. So anyway, as far as the wildcard game's concerned, as good as Colorado's been with having... Blackman, Arenado, Trevor Story had a solid year. They've got John Gray on the hill for this game, but it's not going to matter because you're going up against a guy who's got a decent shot at the Cy Young this year, and Zach Greinke won 17 games, was Arizona's best pitcher. And I know that the Diamondbacks aren't as deep offensively as, say, Colorado was. At least they're not as top-heavy. I think they're more balanced. Because when you have Paul Goldschmidt's the only one who drove in more than 90 runs for Arizona. He finished with 109 RBIs. But then right behind him, you had Jake Lamb at 75 and J.D. Martinez at 74. And that trade, picking up J.D. Martinez, was a huge deal for the Diamondbacks because it might have possibly pushed them over the hump. It's going to get them a win in the wild card game. They're going to go on to face the Los Angeles Dodgers. It'll be Dodgers-Diamondbacks. And I'm taking the Dodgers in... It's going to go the distance. I'm taking the Dodgers in five in that series. Because, and I know they've struggled second half of the year. They had one of the worst records in baseball second half of the season. But I think when push comes to shove, and with how good Justin Turner's been playing, I mean, with how good Corey Seager's been playing, with how good Cody Bellinger's been playing, because the Dodgers have been able to do what they did this year, and they've been able to do it all without Adrian Gonzalez offensively, and with the pitching staff that the Dodgers have, the Dodgers are going to be too much for the Diamondbacks. I'm taking the Dodgers in five. As far as the other matchup is concerned between the Nationals and the Cubs, yes, the Cubs are the defending world champions, but newsflash, the Washington Nationals have never won a playoff series. They didn't win a playoff series either when they were in Montreal. And that streak is going to continue. The Cubs are going to beat them in five because Washington has proven that they are choke artists come playoff time. That trend is going to continue. Max Scherzer may not even start game one on Friday because he's dealing with injuries. So Scherzer might be out for at least game one. I don't know if he's going to be out for more than that in the series, but he'll definitely be out for game one. And if they don't have Scherzer for the long term, that's going to be detrimental to Washington. It's going to hamper them more than it already has. Cubs are going to win that series in five. It's going to be Cubs-Dodgers National League Championship Series.
Matt and Lee, those are bold predictions, okay? I agree with you, the wild card game. Zach Greinke is having a resurgence after a crappy year last season. He's proven that contract is not a fluke. I say that trade for J.D. Martinez is almost as equivalent to the Yoan Cespedes trade that the Mets did.
Agreed.
J.D. Martinez finished off the season with 44 home runs. And I believe he hit like over 20-something with the Diamondbacks alone. So J.D. Martinez is perfect for that lineup. Diamondbacks will defeat the Rockies. As for the Nationals versus the Cubs.
Yeah.
The Cubs start picking it up towards the end of the year. Remember how Milwaukee was leading that division at some point, which, wow. And the Cubs were feeling the hangover effect from the crazy party they had to celebrate the World Series Championship. I think the Nationals will defeat the Chicago Cubs in a major, major upset. I think Daniel Murphy gets a game-winning home run. It goes the distance. Murphy hits a home run in Chicago. And the Nationals will defeat the Chicago Cubs to go on to the NLCS and finally win a playoff series. As for the Dodgers versus the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, we thought they were going to be the best team in all baseball. Then they went on that miraculous slump when, I don't know, they lost a lot of games. Say that, they lost a lot of games. But they're going against the Diamondbacks. Surprise team. Guess what? Diamondbacks pull up the upset. I said I am sticking with my guns into my mid-season predictions. I'm staying with them. I say the Diamondbacks upset the Los Angeles Dodgers in five games, and the Dodger fans beat the living hell out of each other in the parking lot because they cannot believe what they've done. They pitch Kershaw for four out of the five games. They're killing each other, and yada, 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 and the season's over for them. Okay? NLCS, surprising. Nationals, Diamondbacks. Okay?
Okay, I can buy it.
Here we go. I am thinking about my prediction.
All right, so while Danny's thinking of his prediction,
Diamondbacks in seven. Washington just comes a little short of making the finals. Just like another Washington team.
Yeah, all right. So since we're going to stick with that, fine, I'll do this on the fly. I had Houston and Cleveland in the American League Championship Series. Cleveland goes the distance. They win it in seven because I think Cleveland's got the better staff, honestly, than Houston does. And Cleveland knows how to get it done in the playoffs. They've got that postseason magic. It's just there. As far as the NLCS is concerned, it's going to be Dodgers-Cubs. And of my choices, we getting ourselves a rematch. Actually, no, wait. Yeah, I'm sticking with that. We getting ourselves a rematch. It's going to be Cubs, Indians in the World Series again. This time, the Indians get their payback. Cleveland ends their slump, having not won a World Series since 1948. The Indians are your world champions. They beat Chicago in 7.
That's going to be that's going to be an awesome World Series if you think that. But I think the World Series will be the Diamondbacks and the Astros. Like I said, I'm staying my prediction because it could happen. And the I forgot who I picked to win. Or I don't know if I did pick anyone to win.
Who knows?
Danny didn't because Matt didn't his picks, and you're like, whoops, okay.
Yeah, but I don't remember if I picked anyone on my midseason.
That I don't remember either.
I don't even remember.
Actually, if you give me a second to go back and look, I can tell you now how we did during the regular, how we did at the start of the year, trying to figure out.
When Dan picked the Mets?
Yeah, well, I want to go back now and look at what we actually said for who we had predicted to go.
And where are you checking this, Matt?
This is on our blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com.
Thank you, Matt.
Oh, my
gosh. All right. So just for fun, I'm going back to look at our predictions for the season. All right. Me, I had Red Sox, Indians, Astros as your division winners. Rangers and Mariners, the wildcard teams.
Yeesh.
NL, we got all three right. Nats, Cubs, Dodgers. I had Cardinals, Mets as the wildcard teams. I had the Cubs over the Red Sox in the World Series. That was back in April. You, Danny? Oh, no. Let's go with Steve first. Steve had the Red Sox, Indians, and Mariners, the Blue Jays, and Rangers as the wildcard teams. He had Nats, Cubs, Dodgers, division winners, Giants, Mets as the wildcard teams, Indians over the Dodgers in the World Series. You, Danny.
This should be fun.
Red Sox, Indians, Astros, Mariners, Tigers. As your playoff teams in the American League.
Oh, my God.
National League, Mets, Cubs, Dodgers, Nats, Giants as your playoff teams.
I was somewhat right.
Your World Series, Astros over the Mets.
No, I picked the Mets over the Astros.
Oh, yeah. That's right, you did. You picked the Mets to beat the Astros in the series.
Picking the Houston Astros to win the World Series over the Arizona Diamondbacks, I say the Houston Astros defeat the Arizona Diamondbacks in 5 games, and I get my World Series right.
And Houston heals.
Yes, Jeff.
Only you, Jeff.
Yeah. And, can't wait till start baseball season next year when you predict the Mets to make it to the World Series and win again with that prediction.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Every year I'm going to guess it, and that year will be the right one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe you'll start doing that correctly when the Wilpons finally sell the team.
Like that will happen.
Yeah, but guess what?
Have fun with that.
Yeah. So I also love how this went from football to baseball talk, but you know what? That's the point of Sally and Steve on Sports. We try to encompass everything as best we possibly can.
Yeah, we're Steve.
I know, with the exception of him. But we will also have, hopefully, predictions for the NHL season on our blog as well, ssnsports.blogspot.com. Yeah, well, I can't speak for you guys, but I'm more excited about hockey season than I am the playoffs in baseball, honestly.
It's hockey season starts for me in, like,
what,
November.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's only about a month, I know. All right, so do we have time to pick football games or do we want to do something else? All right, forget it. It's time for the end of the show, and that means one thing and one thing only. Let's pick football games, shall we?
Let's go.
This is Sully and Steve on Sports. Pigskin Pick'em. Turn down for what?
All right, let's start this new week right off with a recap of week 4. You guys picked Jacksonville, and look what happened. You guys sucked. But then the next game, we all picked Detroit, and Dan was right on the button with the point differential being 7. So Dan gets that win, and then you all picked Atlanta.
Do I get like a bonus point?
Unfortunately, no. It's just that you got the win.
Can I get like a clap or something?
You get a finger snap because I got to keep on talking.
Thanks.
And then you all picked Atlanta, which was wrong.
Should have called that one.
Yep. And then y'all picked Pittsburgh over Baltimore, and Matt got the closest one with 14 points, and you know, the game was definitely more than that, with Matt going 1 point over Dan.
Which he still hates me for.
Yeah, Dan's going crazy with the Price is Right rules there.
No, people die for that, right?
You keep telling yourself that, Danny. Next up, Jeff.
No, they do.
And then Matt gets the next win with the Bengals beating the Browns with 14-point differential.
That was the closest
one. The closest one without going over. And then Matt was the only one that picked Tampa Bay over the Giants. So yeah. Matt went 3-3. Steve did not get a win, and Dan got one win. So that closes up the standings with Steve still holding the fort with 5 wins.
Or 5 points.
5 points, I should say. Sorry, Matt gets his first win, brings up his total to 4 points, and that ties with Dan with 4 points as well. Steve had a chance to break out, but nothing happened with that. So we now move on to week 5 and your games to pick. Starting off with the first one, let's get this done and over with. The Jets at Cleveland.
That's going to be easy. I'll go first. Jets by 14. The Browns suck. The Jets aren't much better, but they're going to be that way this week. Jets get the win over the Browns. They take it by 2 touchdowns, and Danny's going to be paying me Applebee's next time we go out.
Dan, how much do you predict that the Browns will win by?
As much as my heart wants to say, by 40. I'm going to say by 7.
Well, here's
what... This game will be boring. It'll be entertainingly fun for us, though. I'm going to be glued to my television. This game, I'm going to be screaming at the television. Things could get nuts. Browns win by 7. I don't care about Steve's prediction, so next game.
No, you have to hear it, though. I got his prediction.
He already gave his prediction?
Yeah, yes. Jeff texted him before. He's got him.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Oh, why do you make me go then?
You didn't let me finish.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can go now.
Well, here's the thing is that...
Okay, I'm finished.
This game will have one of you guys end up in a tie because Steve says Browns by 7. So it's either Matt wins or Dan and Steve get the tie. So there you go.
Danny, go ahead.
I might change it. I was there first. Next game.
Turn down for what?
So now we have the Chargers going to the Giants. Nothing, no frills, because the Giants are 0-4. And so are... Oh, no. Yeah, Chargers are 0-4. Who will get the first win?
That would be the New York...
There you go.
That would be the New York Giants. They finally get it together. The Giants get their heads out of their culos and come away with a 10-point victory. Giants win it by 10.
The coolers?
Culos.
What the hell is it? A culos?
Giants get their heads out of their culo.
What is that?
Move on, Matt.
Yeah.
Stay, get your head out of your ass.
Giants get their heads out of the rear end. They get the 10-point win. Danny, who are you taking?
The Chargers suck. I don't know what to tell you, man. The Chargers got awful. Phillip Rivers proved last week that he doesn't care anymore. He'd rather just bang his wife and get his, like, 19th child out of her or something like that. They have a lot of children, by the way. Giants win by 3. Unbelievably win by 3, because how the hell could they win by 3? God. No, actually, I'll change it. They win by 6. I want to hear Steve's prediction now.
Well, we're going to have either Dan win or a tie where Steve predicts Giants by 10. Or Chargers win and you all lose.
Oh, God. Next game. God.
Turn down for what?
Right. Hey, don't yell at me. That's all Steve on that one.
So here comes a randomizer.
Yay!
The first game you have to predict...
Oh, God.
...will be the Seahawks in a divisional matchup against the Rams in Los Angeles.
Let Steve go.
Yeah, let Steve go first on this one.
All right, so Steve has to say that the Seahawks will take this by 13.
That's it.
He only gave me the team and score.
Which I don't mind at this point, because you know how sometimes Steve likes to ramble on in some of his explanations. Not that that's a bad thing. But I'm taking this system with Seattle by 13. But if the game was in Seattle, I might have given Seattle a better chance because they always play better at home. But because this game's in Los Angeles, and with how well the Rams have played the last couple of weeks, I'll take the Rams by a touchdown. Todd Gurley's going to have another big day. Quarterbacks will figure out what's going on with their receiving core. Rams take it by a touchdown. 7-point win for Los Angeles.
Nice catch. I think someone just robbed the home run or ran to a wall.
Robbed a home run.
Ladder. No. Into a wall.
Okay.
Caught the warning track.
Nice. Rams and Seahawks, Danny.
Yeah, I know. Remember how I said earlier, the Rams haven't proved to me yet they can be a real team?
Yeah.
Well, this game is going to prove it, all right? But, God. See, this game, the Seahawks haven't looked like themselves yet. The Rams have not looked like themselves because they're playing way too damn good football. This will be a reality check for the Rams. Seahawks win by 10. And if the Rams still help me, God, they win, I'm going to scream next game.
Turn down for what?
Next game show will answer this question if the Cowboys will actually show themselves as a good team or not when they host Green Bay. Did that make any sense? I probably did not.
Is Dallas for real or not? And the answer
is... I got you guys. I'll go first.
Go ahead, Danny.
Last week, I don't know what the hell is going on with the Cowboys, but they let the Rams light them up, and then they were playing catch-up the entire game. They do that against the Packers. It'll be a big boo-boo. But Packers look like a real team this year. Not the fluke from last year, or not really fluke last year, but you know what I mean. Rodgers is playing fine. They're saying Devontae Adams could play after he almost got beheaded last week. I say the Packers win by, I'll say, 14 points. Sorry.
All right, I'm sticking with the Green Bay pick, but I'm going to change the score. Devontae Adams was almost killed last week, but he should be good to go. And by the way, the player who hit him got a one-game suspension from the NFL for the
game. Two games.
No, it was reduced to one.
Reduced?
It was cut down to one today. It was announced this afternoon. It's a one-game suspension for the hit.
Why?
Didn't read the full story. I just caught the headline. It's a one-game suspension. I caught the headline before the show started. I didn't get a chance to actually look. So it's a one-game suspension for the Packers linebacker who cracked him. But Devontae Adams will be all right. The Packers will be all right. They'll win it by 10. Green Bay by 10.
Thank God you didn't say 13. I would have murdered you. What does Steve say?
Well, Steve goes
He said
with
13.
Cowboys lose by 6.
Oh, okay. If he said 13, I would have ended his life. Next game, Jeff.
Cowboys by 13 and then, like, because you pick Green Bay.
Yeah.
God damn it, Jeff. I said next game.
Turn down for what?
You're hostile tonight, Danny.
Yeah, I am.
Why?
I don't know. My knees are bothering me. Is that a home run?
Yes, it is. Fair ball.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Guardy goes yardy. It's 4-3. All right, Jeff, next
Matt,
game.
Please, no.
I just can't believe it, how the Twins just suck.
I can. It's the Twins.
All right. Is this the final game, Jeff?
No, there's two
more.
Two more.
All right, Jeff. Kick it.
This will be the game of the week going into week 5.
Jaguar Steelers.
Yeah, right. It's the Sunday night game. Houston hosting the Chiefs. A big test for Houston. Definitely, yeah.
And Houston gonna fail it. Kansas City wins it by it's gonna be a close game. Kansas City wins by a field goal. Deshaun Watson's going to put up a good fight, but Kareem Hunt goes off on Houston's defense. Kansas City by 3.
Oh, my God. I'm just picturing Jeff doing like a promo package for the Super Bowl. This will be a big test. Yeah.
Tonight, Sunday.
My God. You're like, Jeff, I don't know who's worse. You or Sergio Dip. He's standing there.
So happy to be a part of this
game. I'm sorry. You cracked me up, Jeff. Hey. I think Irm Santana just threw at Aaron Judge also. So, my God, don't get him pissed off. He'll kill someone.
He will.
Watch this be a home run.
All right. Yeah, come on. Take Danny.
If this is a home run, I say this game. I'll say the Texans and Chiefs game is a tie, okay?
It's a tie.
Hold on.
It's 2-2.
Damn it. Okay. Well, that isn't over yet. I say, Matt, what was your thing? I'm sorry. You said Texas.
I said KC by three.
Three?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the upset here. I think the Texans will pull off the upset by three. This will be a big test for Deshaun Watson and company. I think both teams could evenly match against each other. And it's going to be a fun, entertaining Sunday night for both fan bases. So let's see what Steve has to say.
Hey, how do you feel if I said, if Steve said Chiefs by four?
I'm okay with that.
But he said
how
Chiefs.
How the hell is it possible?
Because
two safeties?
No. Somebody could. It's still possible to do that.
Yeah, you know, like more of a high scoring game. It's actually Chiefs by eight.
Oh, that's fine. Final game, Jack.
Turn down for what?
And this one is.
Jaguars.
The beginning of the Trubisky era.
Yes!
Oh my god.
The Monday night game. Vikings.
It's a Monday night?
Yep.
Oh my god!
Danny, you should have figured as soon as you said the Sunday night game was five, there's only one other game left to pick. That's
No. It goes with the way of the randomizer.
Oh, I thought you went in chronological order by way of randomizer.
It just happened to be chronological.
Okay, then. So it's Minnesota-Chicago Monday night. Mitch Trubisky, I'm sorry, but your era gets off to a rocky start. Minnesota gets the win over the Bears. Minnesota takes it by six.
This game is going to be ugly.
As you think about it, Steve goes Vikings by six as well.
Steve said Vikings by six?
Yep.
I say Vikings by 10. There's no chance in hell Mitch Trubisky gets his first win. If he does, I don't know, guys. We give up, I guess.
The Vikings season should just end.
Yeah, and then the Bears are going to miraculous one and make it to the Super Bowl and get murdered by someone. I don't know. Jeff, shut it down.
Got it.
Turn down for what?
So there you have it. Six more games in the books. We got a couple tie possibilities here. Hopefully that won't really affect the standings or the final results.
I hope not. I really hope not.
How much time we have left?
Not that all. We got to wrap it up.
All right, so.
Okay, well, just one thing before we end. Just all our thoughts and prayers to everyone in Las Vegas for the recent tragedy that happened over the weekend. It's unfortunate that we have to keep on bringing this up all the time. It was just a loss of words and a really bad way to start off the week for everyone.
Yes,
and also, Tom Petty, famous rock and roll star, passed away Monday as well. So Monday was not really a good day for the nation and the world. Think about you, Las Vegas, and can't really say
which is why you're hearing the music that's playing in the background as we sign off the air for this week. You can find us on social media, facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports, Twitter at @S_S_sports, or use the #SollySteve, either way works. And both Facebook and Twitter, you can get all your updates on the sports world, get all your updates on this very show, and ask us questions. We'll try to answer them on the air every week. We've got the blog, ssunsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes of the show can be found on iTunes, and every piece of audio we've ever gotten can be found on SoundCloud. All you gotta do is search Solly and Steve on Sports, hit download, and take us with you wherever you go. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or whatever you don't want to post on social media, fine by us. Email us, SollySteveOnSports@gmail.com. For everybody working hard behind the scenes, for Third Mike, Dan, and Jeff, I'm Solly. We'll be back same time, same place, same channel next week. See ya! Slow down.